Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship at Greystone Baptist Church. Greystone is a place where all are welcome, no matter who you are, no matter what you do professionally or in your spare time. We believe there is a space for you here. And I don't say it every week, but we also believe that no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how you're feeling, if you're feeling strong and full of praise, you are welcome here. If you're feeling run down, heavy laden, and not so strong, you are also welcome here. There's room for all of us with all that we bring, as long as we come to God with an open heart, ready to engage openly and vulnerably together in our journeys of life and faith. Today, there are a few who are worshiping off-site. We have 7 children and 3 chaperones who are away at Friends Camp, and they will be returning sometime this afternoon, so we remember to hold them close in heart and in prayer today as they finish up a weekend retreat and hit the road to come home. Last week, all of us worshiped together at 10:30 because it was Heritage Sunday and we were celebrating our 35th birthday. We talked about the parable of the mustard seed from Matthew chapter 13, and we considered the ways that God might be doing something new here, growing something big and broad from a small, tiny seed that was planted 35 years ago here on this corner. And so today in worship, we read again from Matthew chapter 13. We'll explore 2 other parables from that packed chapter and examine how God is growing us and tending us. Whether we are weary, whether we are strong, God is still at work here. And so it is with great expectation that we enter into worship this morning.
Listen to Psalm chapter 18, verse 46. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. Let's exalt our Lord this morning as we sing hymn number 82, Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore him. If you're able, will you stand as we sing together?
If there are any children who would like to come forward, please do so. Yeah. It's so good to see you all this morning. So in just a few minutes, we are going to hear some scripture read in the Bible. It's a story that Jesus was talking to a big group of people about. And it's about a sower and some seeds. And I have these pictures if y'all want to look at it. It might make it a little bit easier. So when Jesus told this story to the big group of people, he talked about, in this first picture, how the seeds were dropped on a path. And the birds ate them because they didn't grow roots. They didn't grow into the ground. And in the next picture, Jesus said, the sower put the seeds on rocky soil. And so you'll see they started to grow, but when the sun came out and it got really hot, they withered and died because they weren't able to have enough water and they didn't have good soil. Then Jesus talked about another opportunity when the sower was planting seeds. He dropped them in the ground, but these thorns grew around the plants and choked them out. And they died and they withered because they weren't able to survive the thorns. And then the last opportunity where the sower planted the seeds, he put it in very good soil. It got lots of water, the roots grew, and they got really big and tall. So what do you think that means to us, right? About a sower and some seeds. That's right. He was trying to plant seeds in a lot of different areas, and it only worked in one spot, right? And so in this story, I want to tell y'all something. The seed is God's word, okay? And the soil is our heart and our lives. And so we want to make sure that God's word grows in our hearts and our lives. And the way it can do that is by coming to Sunday school and church and listening and learning all about Jesus so he can shine in our hearts and our lives, okay? So let's have a little prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for this time to come to church, to hear about you, and for your word to grow in our hearts. In your name, amen.
Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil, and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Creator God, you made all these things: leaves, lichen, sunlight, ants, ferns, worms, the seed that nestled into the earth, the seed that grew into a seedling that became. We are all wrestling with this becoming, growing into plans and ambitions and ideas. We pray that in this hour we might bend and turn to the light of your calling, that our growing and maturing would follow the shape of your grace, nothing more, nothing less. In your mercy, give us what we need to grow and thrive. Help us to trust that you are even yet tending to your creation. Prune away the excess, those parts of our lives that distort and weigh us down. Snip away those pieces that keep us from becoming. Give us love and patience to celebrate and encourage the growth of all of those around us. We confess our tendency is to see weeds that grow beyond our control. The wild is threatening to our carefully manicured and curated fields. So comfort our spirits, embolden us as we wait and watch to see how your kingdom might bloom into something that is beyond our imagination and our expectation. With gratitude and joy, we drink up the waters of our baptism that refresh and restore even still. With hope and confidence, we wait the gentle breeze of your Spirit. And with hearts open, we stretch to the light of your Christ. Amen.
Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Let's turn to hymn number 734 and stand together and sing, "Be Strong in the Lord."
Be strong in the Lord and be Please pray with me. Dear Lord, we are grateful for this day and this place and these people. We are so thankful for all of the many blessings you have provided us, and we are especially reminded of this during this harvest season. Help us to be the fertile soil needed to further your kingdom here on earth. Help us to hear your word and be led in the direction that will allow us to use our time, talents, and treasures most effectively to spread your message and spirit like wildflowers. Amen.
Continuing in our reading today in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slave said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. God, stir the soil. Run the plowshare deep, cut the furrows round and round, overturn the hard, dry ground. Spare no strength nor toil, even though I weep. In the loose, fresh, mangled earth, sow new seed. Free of withered vine and weed, bring fair flower to birth. Amen. New Testament scholar C.H. Dodd penned an excellent definition of parable. I think it's the best one out there. At its simplest, he says, the parable is a metaphor or a simile drawn from nature or common life, arresting the hearer by its vividness or strangeness, and leaving the mind in sufficient doubt to its application, to tease the mind into active thought. Well, the 13th chapter of Matthew's gospel is filled with all kinds of parables, which in their vividness and their strangeness certainly leave our minds active with more questions than answers. Last week, we looked at the parable of the mustard seed, and we considered the growth of a plant from the tiniest seed into a large tree. We noticed the provision that the tree supplied for all the birds of the air, and we recognized the absurdity of the whole thing altogether. But even in the absurdity, we were faced with the question of what God might be growing within us. How is God growing what was a tiny seed planted here in Northwest Raleigh 35 years ago into a large tree with branches expansive enough to hold all the birds of the air? Like gardeners called to nurture and grow their crops, Greystone, we are called to tend and grow this church. Gardeners know that what they plant depends on the soil. They know that before they can plant anything, they must consider the composition, the condition, and the needs of that soil. And after understanding the nature of the soil, they will know which plants will thrive in it. They will know what nutrients are needed to supplement the soil. And they will understand how the ground holds the water. Only after knowing the soil can the gardener proceed. A couple of weeks ago, some of you may have heard this quote at our leadership training event. It was coupled with the same scripture, the parable of the sower. A sower went out to sow, and some seeds fell upon a path, others fell upon rocky ground, and yet others fell upon thorns. And those, they did not mature, they did not grow to produce crops. But other seeds, they took root in good soil, and they produced abundantly. You see, it's important to consider the soil. A few verses later, again in Matthew 13, another sower comes and plants good seed in his field. And despite all of his best efforts, the seeds of unwanted plants, otherwise known as weeds, they're sown by an enemy under the cover of night. Nobody seemed to notice the weeds, however, until they started growing alongside the wheat, and the latter started to produce grain. At which point, the servants of the landowner wanted to pluck up the weeds and clear the field of those unwanted and unproductive plants. But the landowner knows what's happening beneath the surface. He knows what's going on in the soil. He knows that the root systems of these two very different crops have become so intertwined that pulling one up would uproot the other as well. It's important to consider the soil. This time of year, more than any other, I am very aware of soil composition. As a homeowner with not a whole lot of extra time to tend the grass, this time of year can be particularly embarrassing. I'm forced to face my shortcomings as I look out and recognize that despite my best efforts, despite all that I have read about growing a nice, green, lush lawn, my lawn is green, but I have a whole lot of weeds and a very little bit of grass. I know the steps to growing fescue, aerate and seed in the fall, pre-emergent in the spring, post-emergent in the summer, fertilize late summer, early fall, and then start the process all over again. Don't forget to water regularly. But somehow, despite all that I know I should do, August rolls around, or September rolls around, and I look out and all I can see are weeds. Long before Justin and I bought our first home and our lawn care responsibilities were what they are today, I used to wait tables at Outback Steakhouse. If you've ever worked in the restaurant industry, you already know there are a whole set of phrases and sayings that only apply to that setting. Full hands in, full hands out. You got time to lean, you've got time to clean. And my favorite of all, perhaps the hardest to shake when you no longer work at the restaurant, is yelling corner every time you come and go from the kitchen. You see, it's usually a high traffic area with very limited visibility. And when you're carrying a tray full of filet mignons, the last thing you want to do is run into somebody else. Another thing I learned at Outback has been on my mind a lot this week as I've considered the words from Matthew's gospel. I'm in the weeds. We used to say it all the time. I remember other servers saying, I'm in the weeds, when they were filling up drink cups as fast as they could on a Friday night during rush. I remember the dishwashers yelling it out from behind high stacks of dirty plates, so high that you couldn't even see who was back there, but you could hear them say, I'm in the weeds. I remember saying it myself after getting a 6-top, a 10-top, and then who knows, a full section, one right after the other. I'm in the weeds. I can't keep up. I'm so confused. I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing right now. Since those years of restaurant employment, there have come different kinds of weeds, but they still grow up all around. They seem to appear out of nowhere. They make me want to stop everything and throw my hands up and say, I'm in the weeds. Sometimes it's just one single setback that interrupts the way I want things to go. Sometimes the weeds are like illness that come out of nowhere. Sometimes the weeds are an accident that changes everything, or maybe it's a change at work, something I didn't expect, something that interrupts the rhythm or brings production to a halt. Those kinds of weeds certainly cause us to question if we will ever grow up healthy and strong and vibrant again. I'm in the weeds, we may want to say. But sometimes the weeds are more slow growing. They root, they expand over long periods of time until one day we realize we're starving. Starving for sunlight, starving for water, starving for any kind of nutrition that might come from the ground. Maybe these subtle changes happen in our marriages over time. We spend our lives raising children or building careers, and before too long, we look at our partners and say, who are you? How did you get to be that way? Where did you come from? You see, we change. We evolve little by little over time. And sometimes those changes draw us farther and farther apart from one another. I'm in the weeds, we may feel. Sometimes the weeds pile up in our lives, demanding our attention and causing us to lose focus when we don't really want to. Sometimes they draw our minds away from the things that matter most. These may be moments where we're under deadlines at work and we don't have time to pay attention to our children or our spouses or our friends. Sometimes it's when there's more paperwork than work that we want to be doing. When things like this happen, when life hands us more than we feel like we can handle, we may just want to throw our hands up in exhaustion and just yell, "I'm in the weeds. Can somebody help me find something that matters? I'm in the weeds." Maybe some of you feel this way today. Maybe some of you came to church this morning, sun scorched and smothered by weeds and shallow soil. Maybe some of you came here today searching for something, anything meaningful in the midst of a life that feels redundant and surface level and empty. If you're in the weeds this morning, and if you hear just one thing today, hear this. God isn't through yet. God will not leave you to scorch. God will not leave you smothered forever. God will not let you be uprooted prematurely. Because God is stirring the soil, but God is not through with you yet. It can be so hard to see what God is doing when you're in the weeds. When we're torn between weed and wheat. But that doesn't mean that God isn't working, that God isn't tending the soil, turning it over, infusing it with nutrients, building the kingdom little by little, despite all the chaos that seems to be growing around us. In the 13th chapter of Matthew, we notice a theme developing around those who are hearing but not hearing, right? Those who are seeing but not able to see. You see, God's kingdom in Matthew is hidden except for when it's not. It's invisible except for when you get a small glimpse. It is crowded out and sometimes covered over like the wheat amongst the weeds. It is unpredictable, like the weeds that spring up where you're sure you sowed good seed. It is absurdly gracious, like the landowner who looks out and says, "Wait just a minute, don't pull that one up yet." When Jesus told this story to his disciples, there were some dominant ideas about what the kingdom would look like, who would be included and who would not be included. The religious leaders of his day worked together with political leaders, and they made sure that they all maintained the facade of purity. They chose rules and regulations based on their limited understanding of Torah law and created systems of insiders and outsiders bonding together social acceptance with God's own salvation. They thought they knew who was in and who was out. They thought they could discern between weed and wheat. According to their mindset, it should have been obvious who was in God's kingdom and who was not. With this understanding, there should be no strange and miraculous exceptions, no weeds growing up amongst the wheat, just clean, tidy rows, ready and waiting for the harvest. But you and I know that things are never that clean and tidy, are they? Those who were closest to Jesus, the disciples to whom he is talking, they saw God working in a new and different way, a way that transgressed the boundaries of legalistic expectation with a grace that could see beneath the surface of the soil, a grace that recognized the interconnected and messy root systems that wove together the wheat and the weeds, and a grace that insisted that not one of those plants be plucked up and thrown into the fire quite yet. You see, the kingdom of heaven is both yet to come, it is eternal, but it is also available here and now. It's available to those who can see and hear, Matthew says. It is like a seed sown in fertile soil, like a grain hidden amongst the chaff. Can we see it? Is the question. This year at Greystone, we celebrate our 35th anniversary. And as we do that, we remember our past and we celebrate the ways in which God has grown this place. As we celebrate our history, we are also called to open ourselves to the ways that God is seeking to grow something new. We like to say here that every member is a minister, and as I read this text and I think about this moment in time for this church, I wonder what we might find if we begin to say that every member is a gardener. What kinds of plants and seeds are growing here? How are we nurturing them? Is there space in our field for new life to take root? And what about that soil? Has it been tended? Has it been turned? Has it been nurtured? Is it ready for new life to come and thrive here? Well, considering the soil of the church is one thing, but if we take it seriously, we have to turn inward and consider the soils of our own souls. If we are to build and to participate in God's kingdom here and now, it has to start within each and every one of us. See, all of us, like that field, we have the potential for good and evil. We have the capacity to grow both weed and wheat. If we are honest, we could probably name some examples of both in our own lives in this very moment. Are our lives producing crops that look like the fruits of the Spirit? Love, peace, joy, patience, kindness. Are our souls growing in compassion for our neighbors? Or are we producing the plants of this earthly kingdom? Crops planted in tiny rows with little room for growth, little room for expansion. How are we doing when it comes to tending our own souls? The parables from Matthew's gospel remind us that if we take a deeper look at our individual soil and at our communal soil, we may be surprised by what's growing up around us. We may be surprised by what's growing up among us. We may be surprised by what's growing up within us. We may be surprised to find weeds where we thought we had sown wheat. And we may be surprised to find wheat where we just knew we had sown weeds. But the beauty of it all is that God, who is our master gardener, is represented by the sower who casts the seeds with reckless abandon on all kinds of soil. And God is represented by the sower who can see what is happening beneath the surface of the ground. As we do our best each and every day to stay out of those weeds, we know that we are cared for. We know that we are nurtured. We know that we are being fed and grown by a God who knows our hearts, by a God who knows what lies beneath the surface, and by a God who is full of all kinds of surprises. Matthew's gospel is full of surprises as well. And maybe one thing we can learn from today's reading is that the weed and the wheat, they often grow up together. And maybe the weed and the wheat have the opportunity to turn into one another, just like that mustard shrub that turned into a tree. Now that would be absurd. But just in case it might be true, as we consider the soil around us and among us and within us, why don't we do so with a little bit of grace? Grace with ourselves and grace with one another. Grace not to judge too early whether something is weed or wheat. Grace to recognize that sometimes the one looks just like the other, and maybe we can begin with a tiny bit of gratitude. Gratitude that the final decision about what can and cannot grow here, it doesn't belong to us in the first place. That decision belongs to God, the God who cast seeds on all kinds of soil. And the God who is always ready to say, wait just a minute. Let's not pull that one up just yet. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Maybe you came here today tired. Maybe you came here today feeling sun-scorched or crowded out. Or maybe you came here today feeling strong and healthy and ready to grow and ready to help others grow. No matter how you came here today, I hope that there has been a word of grace, a word of grace for you to begin to see yourself differently and to understand that God isn't with you yet. And in the same way, grace to extend to somebody next to you, to remind them that God is not through with them yet either. And so while the garden is ours to tend, let us do so graciously with one another. If God is calling you to come forward to share a hardship or something heavy that you're carrying with you, then come on. Let's talk about it and pray together. Or maybe God is calling you to commit yourself to Jesus, to following Jesus the Christ, and maybe God's calling you to do that here with us as a member of Greystone. Whatever it is that the Spirit has laid upon your heart, if you feel so led to come forward and to share that, please do so during the song, and I'll be here ready to listen.
Let's stand together and sing 596, I Surrender All.
Christ be with you. Let us share God's peace with one another.
Greystone, there are ways for you to be involved, to continue to serve, to reach out. And so just remember that this afternoon at 4 o'clock, we will have a deacon ordination service. So please come back this afternoon at 4 o'clock, where we will ordain four deacons, I got that right, and install another class. So I hope that you will come back for this important service today at 4 o'clock. Next week, there's a leadership council meeting. Today at 5:30, there's a youth choir planning meeting. I hope you'll come. If you would like to get out into nature and kind of walk around Umstead with me, I want to do 4 walks this year, each in the different seasons, and maybe we'll see something new, but always looking forward to conversation as we walk and talk. That's going to be this Saturday, so I hope you'll join me. Also, you can go and have dinner with the pastor. If you'll look in your bulletin, you see information about how to sign up for dinner with the Williamsons. And so first 15 get in the door. The rest of you can wait for the next time. We are struck by the devastation in the Bahamas and on the Outer Banks. And so the Missions Committee has set aside the next pocket change offering, which will be September the 29th, for disaster relief. So usually you clean out your cup holders in the car and kind of rifle through your old handbags and find some loose change. But we're going to be giving this offering to CBF Disaster Relief, and specifically to 9 churches, 9 sister churches in the Bahamas. And so if you wanted to give more, please feel free to do that and give as the Spirit leads on September 29th. I just wanted you to be prepared.
Let's sing our sending song together. God be with you till we meet again.
Let us go out into the world ready to offer grace to ourselves and all of those around us. And as you go, may you go with this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's presence always be alive within you, giving you the grace never to sell yourself short. Grace to risk something big for something good. And grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. So may God take your hands and heal through them. May God take your feet and walk with them. And may God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.